Praise the Lord, church.
So good to have everybody here, and everybody's going to hold my time just a moment. We want to give a greeting here to all of the church, all the apostolic saints of God, all of our guests that are with us in the house of the Lord. We appreciate you being here. Our moderator, Mr. Tommy Thrasher, and my opponent that has come for this debate, Mr. Pat Donahue. We appreciate every one of these men and appreciate every one of you being here. Understanding that we do agree that it is right and proper that we come and seek out of the book of the Lord and seek the mind of God and seek the purpose of God, the unity and truth of the book of God. James 5:39 says, search the scriptures, and I commend you for your desire and your hunger for being here. These at Berea were more noble than they at Thessalonica, the book of Acts said, because they searched the scriptures. Again, God bless you for your hunger and your desire for the word of the Lord. Can you start the time? A little bit new at this, since this is my first time, but I have been around long enough that I think I understand that in a debate, when a man gives an affirmative, it's his responsibility to affirm, and this is what our affirmative says, what the scriptures teach. And I would think that by what the scriptures teach, it would be by using the scripture and the word of God to explain scripture by scripture. I do feel like that Mr. Donahue has erred in truth, and that's why I'm up here denying the proposition that he signed to defend today. We have a little problem here in being able maybe to follow some of what has been, because chart number one, we have heard from Mr. Donahue hypothesis, an unapproved theory, proposition, supposition. Hypothesis applies an inadequacy of evidence in support of an explanation that is tentatively inferred, often as basis for further experimentation. And taking his words from his chart, Pat's position explained but not proven. His hypothesis is explained but is not proven. In other words, he's not given scriptures to say it means what he says. Chart number two, we've heard theory. Theory, a mental viewing, a contemplation, a speculative idea, a plan as how something might be done. Pat's position explained but not proven. We've heard past theory explained, but we haven't had the scripture that's proven the theory. Chart number three, we've heard ideology, study of ideas, their nature, their source, thinking or theorizing of an idealistic, abstract, or impractical nature, fanciful speculation, the doctrines, opinions, or way of thinking of an individual class, the body of ideas on which particular political, economical, or social system is based, and so on. Pat's position explained, as he said in his chart that he put up, but not proven. Pat's ideology has been explained, what he feels like certain things mean, but he did not give us scripture that would really state why they meant that or how. The next chart, number four, we've heard his belief. State of believing, conviction, or acceptance. And without taking too much time, I'm trying to believe that Pat will come back with some scripture to substantiate what he is affirming that he believes. That belief has been explained, but it has not by scripture been proven. And chart number five, we've heard opinion, a belief not based on absolute certainty or positive knowledge, I believe, but on what seems true, valid, or probable to one's mind or judgment. An opinion can be the result of deliberation, but it can also be colored with emotion. Opinion applies to conclusion or judgment which, while it remains open to dispute, seems to true or probable to one's mind. It's my opinion that somebody will agree with me. And then the next chart, opinion. If his opinion is incorrect, then his doctrine is wrong. But the only way that he can prove his opinion is correct is to give us scriptures that says the things that he is opinionated about. His position has been explained, but not proven. His opinion has been explained, but not proven by scripture. So we have been presented an unproven hypothesis, speculative theory, abstract ideology, man's belief, and his personal opinion, but there is a problem in what I have not been given. Brother Mark, number nine this time. Something that we have a little problem in what I have not been giving is scripture. Not opinion, not ideology, not theory, not hypothesis, not just my belief, but where is the scripture? Never Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Chart number 10. Pat, please give us Scripture. Back up one on me. Please give us Scripture where it says that the three things listed in 1 Corinthians 13 and 8 includes all nine or more gifts of the Spirit that are supposed to pass away. Give us Scripture where the gifts are for the giving of the completed New Testament. Where is the Scripture? The scriptural example that says that the gifts of the Spirit's purpose was to give us the completed New Testament. When the Scripture says that which is perfect is come, give us the Scripture that says that which is perfect. He told us his feeling about it, his idea about it, his feeling and his belief about it, but he did not give us the Scripture that told us that which is perfect is come means the completed New Testament. He went to Zechariah toward the end, chapter 13, and told us that the prophets in verse 2 were true prophets, not false prophets, that are supposed to pass away so there would be no more prophecy. And while the prophets in the other verses, if you'll read on, are false prophets, some way he's going to have to give us Scripture that substantiates that these prophets in Zechariah that he is talking about are true prophets. I contend, scripturally speaking, that it is very obvious in the Word of the Lord they are not talking about true prophets that pass away. It is talking about false prophets that pass away. Now, my duty tonight, Saturday will be different, but my duty tonight is to deny what he has come and said. And I can give you all of these. I can stand here and give you my hypothesis, my theory, my ideology, my belief. I can give you my opinion, and I can give you more than that. I can give you something that Pat cannot give you, because I can give you experience. But we're not up here debating experience. I can tell you, I have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. I have seen God work the gifts of the Spirit through my life. We have in this church watched God heal the sick, mend broken bones instantly and immediately, raise the dead. We have seen God do those things in this church. I can talk of my experience in the touch of God in my life. And it's hard to argue with experience. You may take a child that has never had a candy bar, never had anything sweet. You could find somebody like that in our day, but if you could, you may convince that child that candy's no good, that it doesn't taste good, that it's just bad, that he won't like it, that it'll make him sick or whatever the situation might be. But you take that child that's still got the chocolate on his face and the slobber running down his chin that's eating his candy, and you try to convince him that it's no good, that it's not real, that it's not sweet, that it's not right. And I'm going to tell you, he's going to look at you and say, that's crazy. I've had the candy. I got news for Pat. I've got experience. I have had the candy. I have felt and touched and been possessor of the promises and the gifts that God has promised. But if that's all we want in this debate is my belief, my experience. I have the Holy Ghost. I've been healed as a child when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Healed me of asthma not even 2 weeks ago. Touched me instantly and healed my leg that was hurt. And so we have all of these things that we can, and more. It just goes on and on and on. But what we want and what we desire is that shows and tells that the Scriptures teach, the Scriptures show, the Scriptures prove that these things are all done away with. Chart number 8. Excuse me. Don't go there. We've already had that. All right. We are going to look at some of the things that were the ideas of Pat. Look at some of the things that he talked about in some of his charts. We're going to go to chart number 32, Brother Mark. He referred to the book of James. Pat admitted that James was talking about the law of God, the Word of God. whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds. Mr. Donahue's trying to tell us that the law or the word of God was not complete and entire until a certain time when it all came together, and it is proven by the word perfect. That which is perfect is come. Okay, the word perfect that he said there said nothing is necessary to completeness. James is telling, before all the rest of the books are written, there are still books in the Bible that are not completed, that have not been given at this point. But he is saying, evidently, that this is already perfect. It is already complete. Nothing else is needed. We don't need any of this. So I'm telling you that my opponent has a contradiction that is here, and something that he needs to get up and prove by the word of God and through the scripture. Chart number 33. We have two perfect laws. We have the law of the Lord is perfect. That's Old Testament. We have Acts 20:27. I've not sinned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Here's the whole and complete word of God. All the counsel of God. These things before all New Testament scripture was written. James, we've already quoted, look into the perfect. That needs nothing else to complete it. Go to the next chart, chart 34. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the whole counsel of God. Which one of these, if we're going to use the reasoning and the ideology that Pat is using, which one of these is the complete that doesn't need anything else, don't need to bring in anything else concerning those things? Let's go to number 20, chart number 20. Parts and the whole that Mr. Donahue dealt with. He used Luke 11:36 and talked about this part of the body being dark, or the whole body being dark, or the whole body being full of light. I submit to you that according to his ideology on this thing, if that which is perfect is come, which I do not believe, which he has not given us one scripture or basis to believe is the completed New Testament, but if that which is perfect is come, then that which is part shall be done away with, then there are some things that would be necessary to complete some knowledge. He's talking about this partial knowledge, this partial understanding. I submit, you take away the man's arm, he's not whole anymore. You take away the man's leg, he's not whole anymore. You take away the man's head, he's not whole anymore. It takes all of the parts to make the whole. So the idea that he has that which is perfect is come is the completed New Testament will not float or will not fly where he is at right there. Chart number 37. He talked about apples to apples. And I think he gave me an accusation that I was not going to give apples to apples. And he gave a little illustration that I'll quit my full-time job. We just changed one of the things that he had there just a little bit. I quit my full-time job, and that should be part-time job. When I get a full-time job, or why wouldn't it be just as proper or just as right when I win the lottery? Why do I have to get a job at all? If I won the lottery, that we do not play, thank God. And but if I won the lottery, I would no longer need my part-time job. I would no longer need to work. I would no longer need to labor because I have the money that I need to sustain myself. Is it really that we are dealing apples to apples? The job is not at all the same nature as winning the lottery, yet the sentence would make perfect sense because it provides the benefit of money, which would necessitate that we no longer have to have the full-time job. Likewise, the coming of Jesus Christ would provide full knowledge, and it would make perfect sense in 1 Corinthians 13:10 for us to understand this way, that when the kingdom is ushered in and that which is in part is done away with, that these things are no longer necessary. I contend that Pat is telling us that since that which is perfect in his mind, in his ideology, is the completed New Testament, there is no more partial knowledge. I contend that there is partial knowledge, that there is some things yet that Pat does not know, that he does not understand, that there are some things that men do not know and men do not understand. But what Pat's job is, again, I'm not here to lead out in this, I'm here to deny and all these ideologies and all these beliefs, but what we want is for him to come up here and give us scripture that tells us that which is perfect is come, is the completed New Testament, the completed Word of God. And I submit to you that he cannot do it, and he will not be able to do it. And so, when we're talking about apples to apples, you can use an allegory, you can use an idea that you got chicken and hamburger, and he feels like a chicken and a hamburger perhaps would be apples to apples, but apples to oranges, why would there be a difference? You got two different kinds of meats, you got two different kinds of fruits. You still got meats, and you still got fruits, and if one of them fits the scenario, why should not the other fit the scenario? We may have a problem here. Chart number 11. He dealt with these three abide now by faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And again, we want him to come and bring us some absolute scripture that deals with what he's talking about. These three abide together. And he's trying to tell us that there will come a time that two's going to drop off and one's going to go on without. And we want him to try to explain that a little bit more to us without going, because of my time, much farther. Let's go to Zechariah 13. I'll try to cover at least every idea that he brought up to us. Zechariah 13, that's chart number 39, Brother Mark. I have one of the questions that I asked. I have one of the questions that I asked him, and the question that I asked Mr. Donahue was, since you teach that in that day, Zechariah 13:1 refers to the time period of Christ's death, the first coming of Christ, when did the first advent begin and when did it end? He said it is a time period, as we normally use the phrase. I do not have an exact year or the beginning or the ending. Again, I tell you, there are some things that Mr. Donahue does not know. He does not have perfect knowledge or complete knowledge that doesn't need anything else. I have here a question and answer here that was given during a debate with Jason Leatherly, where Pat was asked the identical question with identical words, and he answered it then. The first coming began at his physical birth and ended at his ascension. So which one does he really believe, and can he make up his mind, and can we find scripture for these things? A text without a context is a pretext. If you'll read what he is talking about here, he's talking about the names of idols passing out of the land, they'll be remembered no more. He said he'll cause the prophets also to cease, and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. So we've got idols, we've got prophets, we've got unclean spirits. Why do we have sandwiched between here real prophets, good prophets, God's prophets, and how come this is not false prophets? He's going to tell you it's true prophets, but yet we're going to go to the very next verse when we have time and come back and show that he is talking about false prophets, and it's not true prophets that he's trying to establish a point with of his theory and idea that passed out of the land, but the false prophets, and that goes together with the unclean spirits that false prophets have, the idol gods that false prophets are often associated to. And so Mr. Donahue has the need to come back and present to us in his argument or in his presentation, in his affirmation of scriptures that say the things that he says he believes, that he feels, but he must show us not what he believes, not what he feels, but what thus
saith the word of God, what thus saith the scriptures, for the proposition is that the scriptures teach these things, and the scriptures relate to these things.